sing that song because what I want to talk about a little bit this morning is, yeah, God is not dead, but the church is not dead either. This is something that we want to key in this morning a little bit, is the fact that the church is alive and well, even though we've heard and do hear all kinds of things going out across the nation and the nations that would talk or even laws in the land that are against the kingdom of heaven or going contrary to the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean that the church doesn't have a voice. But the church, I believe, is going to get louder in the days ahead. The voice of the church is going to get louder in the days ahead. Even as the world gets a bit darker, the church is going to shine in a greater measure and speak forth with powerful, powerful words. The church is not dead. God's not dead, and the church is not dead. As long as God is not dead, the church will not be dead. And so we want to make sure that we make a lot of the church. The church is still the most powerful vehicle on the planet today for transformation of lives and communities. It still is. The church has not lost its power. The church is powerful, and the church is going forth, and the church will accomplish all the things that God has designed for it to accomplish. God has designed for it to be the light of the world, and as we go forth producing that light of the world, the darkness has got to dispel. Light always dispels darkness. You can have a room that's totally black. You put one light on, you take your cell phone out and put your flashlight on your cell phone. Guess what? Darkness dissipates and light sheds the room. Well, all we have to do is speak up, have a voice in this world, and we will make a difference. The church will make a difference. Say that with me. The church will make a difference. Yeah, glory to God. Well, we want to look at a couple of scriptures this morning. I want to read from Psalm 133. I want to read that portion of scripture this morning. God seemed to highlight that to me. It's interesting. I can study and prepare a message of where I want to go or where I sense I'm supposed to go in line of what I've been teaching on. And I get all finished, then suddenly God brings something that seems to be a little bit different. And so I always endeavor to try to make sure that the thing that I really feel that God has highlighted at the moment, to speak that out, to make sure I get that out. Because I believe that God is anointing that, God is speaking about that at this particular time. And Psalm 133 says, behold, in other words, look, see. That's what the word means, behold, look, see. Behold how pleasant it is for brethren, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. To dwell together, it means that they are people who are brought together. Now, the psalm starts off with behold. In other words, look, see. In other words, it's talking about being able to see a body of believers that are dwelling together and they are in unity together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. I believe there's angels of good and angels of pleasure, put it that way, that come around people who are united together. Come around people who are of like mind. Come around people who think the same way about faith. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down from the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of the garment. This refers to the anointing oil that was made under the instruction of Moses. That anointing oil was made from different spices, and it was holy, and it was ordained to be poured out upon Aaron so that he could work in his high priestly function that he was called to. Aaron, the brother of Moses, became high priest of God. And he was anointed to do that. You see, when we dwell together in unity, in a place of being together, we are thinking the same way. We are going the same. Now, when I say thinking the same way, that doesn't mean that we all think exactly the same way about everything. We are all individuals. We have our own thoughts and so forth. But we are collectively coming together and speaking with one voice, for instance, concerning things like protecting the unborn. There's things when we speak with one voice, we are united in that and we have great power. And God releases his anointing and power to accomplish the thing that we are together on. We are united together on. So it's important to be connected together. And that anointing is released in this collective body when we are walking together. Notice what it's like. It's as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Being in unity, being together, being a people of one mind draws the blessing of God. It actually says that God, the Lord, will command the blessing in that place of unity. Isn't that something? He commands the blessing. Yeah, I believe that the eyes of the Lord run through and fro throughout the whole earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of those who are committed to him. And when he looks at a people and sees them united together, all of a sudden he says, blessing on them. He commands the blessing to come upon their lives. Now notice, he commands the blessing to come upon a body, upon a group of people who are connected and united together. I can't claim that verse if I'm all alone. I can't claim that verse if I'm doing my own thing. I can't claim that verse if I think, you know, everybody else and every church is messed up. I'm just going to stay away and do my own thing. I can't claim that blessing then. Because this blessing is commanded when the body is united and working together in unity. Praise God. I thank God for that awesome, awesome sense of unity that God wants to put upon his church. You'll remember Jesus' words in John 17, his prayer, his great high priestly prayer. He said, I pray that they might be one, Father, even as we are one. Isn't that awesome? You talk about unity. You talk about being together. I pray that my church, my people, might be one as you and I are one. Wow. We've enjoyed a body over the years that I believe has been very, we've been blessed with a sense of unity. I certainly have through the, well, it'll be 20 years this year since I've been pastoring. And we've enjoyed a blessing of unity over the years. And I thank God for it. I thank God for that a lot. But you know, I think we can go deeper. I really believe that we haven't hit the mark yet, that we can go deeper in that place of unity, that place of sharing with one another, that place of drawing on the anointing of that the unity draws. I believe that we can go deeper yet, that there are things that God wants you to do in you and I that will shift us into a greater sense of unity, and it will bring unity not only in our church life, but in our homes, in our relationships. There'll be a new sense of unity because there'll be an anointing poured out upon us that will work in every circumstances that we're in life. Unity with our neighbors. You know, it'll overflow from us into others. So the church is not dead. God's not dead and the church is not dead. The church is powerful. The church is doing the work of God. Now, I want to review just a little bit from the last few weeks. We have been talking about the Confederation Bridge, and we've been talking about the bridge that the church actually is between you and I individually and the things of the kingdom of God. The church is that vehicle that helps us to understand the kingdom of heaven, helps us to walk in the blessings of the kingdom of heaven and to draw on the blessings of the kingdom of heaven. You know, in Psalm 103, it says that we are not to forget the blessings. We are not to forget all his blessings, that he forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. Well, the church declares that. That's why we're having a healing service tonight. We want to declare that we believe that God still heals today, that Jesus still heals today, that by faith we can receive our healing, and not only, as was already mentioned, not only in our physical body, but maybe there's something that we need to be delivered from. Maybe there's something that we need to be set free from. Maybe there's something that has to take place in our life that will leave us so that we can enjoy the blessings of God in a greater measure. Well, that's part of the kingdom of heaven. That's part of the kingdom of God. And when we come together as a body of believers, we remind each other of these things. We remind each other that God's blessing is upon us. Rob Parker, who is leader of the National House of Prayer in Ottawa, he tells me that there's been times when he's come down with a group of people from the gallery at the House of Commons and come down, and an MP would meet him and say, I just want you to know that when we see you guys up there, we know what you're doing. Because most all the MPs know who Rob Parker is and the ministry of the National House of Prayer. They say, we know what you're doing up there. And when we see you, it seems like you hold us accountable for the things we say and do. So that speaks to me about the fact that the church is powerful. The church is anointed to speak into even government today. The church has a voice. The church has an ability to speak about issues that nobody else will speak about, and in a way that nobody else speaks about. In other words, just your presence brings voice to the situation. Just your presence. God can use your presence to speak to individuals who are in government. The church is that powerful. And it is that connection between heaven and earth, the things of heaven and the things of earth. So we want to really to evaluate that. So we drew some comparisons between the church and the Confederation Bridge, because the bridge links Prince Edward Island to many things that are, well, everything else is happening in the rest of the nation. We are linked together by the bridge, by the Confederation Bridge. And it is important for us to be able to recognize that as the church is that link in the world today with the things of heaven, that just as the bridge has to be maintained, so the church has to be maintained. Just as the bridge supplies nourishment and things to the island, so the church supplies that which we need in order to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ephesians 11:4 says that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, which are ministries within the church, are given to the church so that the church might be built up so that they could do the work of the ministry. Even as I speak and share with you this morning, that in the Bible sense, that's not really the work of the ministry. As I speak this morning about the things of God and the value of the church and the importance of the church, and as I'm speaking words to you this morning, I'm actually here as a pastor speaking to you, declaring to you, and equipping you that you are the ones who do the work of the ministry. Because when you go out those doors, you enter your mission field. And therefore, you have to receive power. Did you know that the church is the place that where you receive power? The church is the place where you receive the Holy Spirit power. The Bible talks about that in Acts chapter 2. The power of the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, he said, when I go away, the Holy Spirit will come and you will receive power from on high to be my witnesses. In other words, you will receive power from on high so that you can go out now and you can begin talking about the things that I've done. But not only talking about the things that I've done, you can also do the things that I've done. Praise God. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm happy about that. I look at Jesus' ministry and I think there's some pretty neat stuff happened there. I look at Jesus' ministry and he said, even the works that I do, you will do greater works than these. Glory to God, that's quite a commission. He said, you will receive power from on high. The church shall receive power from on high. The Holy Spirit flows through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to empower the individual members so that they can go out and do the works of God. Tonight, we're going to come, when we come for our service tonight, we're also going to be sharing and talking and really teaching a little bit again on words of knowledge, gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that we can become empowered. We'll get used to operating in things like the gift of knowledge when it comes to healing the sick. And we're going to ask God to release some gifts tonight, words of knowledge and so forth. And we're going to practice that because we want to get familiar with how these things work. Because when a gift of the Holy Spirit is going forth, there are things that can happen that will activate faith and the anointing of God. And I don't know about you, but I need activation. I need to be activated by the anointing. I need to be stirred by the anointing of God. One of the ways that I try to drill in myself is to be conscious of my need for the anointing. Conscious of the need of the Holy Spirit power in my life, even when I'm speaking to you. In fact, I wrote that before any of my notes this morning. I wrote to myself, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. this morning so that we can hear from him, hear what he is saying to us today. Because life is too short and there's too much power of the enemy to try to go forth without the power, recognizing the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Let us beware of your presence, God. Let us beware of his presence is in our midst. We also mentioned over the last a few weeks how the bridge, when it opened in 1997, that the first day it opened, there was about 20,000 people walked across that bridge. And I can still remember that day. It was quite a hot day. It was a warm day. And there was a lot of people were amazed at the bridge. And you know, after the first few years that the bridge opened, there was an increase of tourism. Something like 500,000 extra tourists came the first few years after it opened. But after the first few years, it kind of dwindled back to, I think, maybe about 160,000 that was actually above and beyond what usually came to Prince Edward Island during the summertime, which is around 1 million people, tourists come, apparently, through 10 weeks in the summertime. But after the first few years, the shine of the bridge kind of wore off, and people weren't coming to see the bridge anymore. They only use the bridge now when they need to. And sometimes that's the attitude that people take with the body of Christ, with the church. They come, first of all, because they can't come out of darkness into light. And as soon as they get just a little bit of light, they know how much they need the church. They know how much they need the body of Christ to help them grow in the things of God. But many people, after a while, sometimes the shine wears off. It's not new anymore. The shine wears off a little bit, and then they begin to drift away. And they become cold toward the things of God. We begin to act like the people who thought the bridge was an awesome thing when it just built and was fun to see it. But after we drove over it a few times, we're not interested anymore. Well, the church should never be treated that way. And you and I as individuals are the only ones that can see that the shine of the church never wears off for us. You and I are the only ones that can actually do anything about that. I can't do it for you. I've been preaching for 20 years now, and I've been basically asking God, what do you have for us today? I did that 20 years ago. I'm still doing it today. I'm still doing everything I can to provide for you spiritual food the way the bridge provides for us natural food. And it certainly does. As I said before, you see a storm take place over the bridge over more than 24 hours, then the grocery stores start to get a little bit light, don't they? The grocery stores begin to get the shelves actually get empty. And so we know that the bridge really is flowing with goods for this island. Well, the church is supposed to do the same thing. And the church, it may not always be something new. You don't go to the grocery store every single time and buy something new. If you've had a good steak last week, you'd like to go. Maybe you want to buy that good steak again this week. And you'll enjoy it just as much. And your body needs it just as much. Well, your spirit is the same way, you see, when it comes to spiritual food. You might have heard it one time, one way, but you need to hear it again. It can't be, you know, it's like the new preacher that came to town and he would preach in the service and he got very, very busy. There was a lot of funerals and so forth. So he preached one sermon and the next week he was so busy he didn't have time to prepare. So he thought, I'll just preach the same sermon again. And so he preached the same sermon. The next week he was busy again and he did the same thing. He preached the same thing again. And some of the elders got a little bit upset and they went to the bishop of the denomination and they said, you know, we're kind of upset. This preacher, we thought he was real good the first time we heard him, but he's preached the same message three times in a row. And the bishop said, really? And he said, well, what did he preach? And none of them could tell him. So he said, well, let's just let him preach it another time. You know, sometimes as a church, we can hear something one way and then hear it another way and get something different altogether. The church is here to give us spiritual nourishment so that we can grow thereby. And we need to be nurtured or nourished on an ongoing basis. The church is our lifeline to the nutrients from the kingdom of heaven. We'll put it that way. And it is our personal responsibility to not let the shine wear off. We also mentioned how being like people who cross over the bridge only for when they need something. We use that now because most of us have been over it a number of times. We never cross it to look at the view. We cross it because we need something. And if that's the only time we come to church, then we are a people who are always there with our hand out. Do you know that the church is a wonderful place to come when you are in a time of need? But it's sad when the only time you come is when you have a time of need. You see, when things are going good in our lives, we're enjoying the blessing of God, we're enjoying the prosperity of God, that's the time to make sure that we're doing in our part that to see that the church is functioning properly, that the church is cared for. When things are going good, so that if we do our part, if we bring our supply to the church to see that it functions well in the good times, it'll be there for us when we have a time of need. But if the only time we come is when we have a time of need, then maybe we'll go and we will feel disconnected. We won't really feel that we're getting much out of it, because we haven't been connected the way we should be. It'll be like having a bad internet connection. You know what that's like? It's real annoying when you have a bad internet connection. And if we are not connected to the body and we come every once in a while, we can even get annoyed at what goes on there because we're not connected properly. We're not hooked in properly. We're not sensing where the church is going, and we haven't been under the impartation of the presence of God and one another over a period of time. But when we're properly connected, we come in and we sense that, hey, yes, I belong here, glory to God. I'm a person who belongs in this place. I have brought my supply, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus that I carry. I come to present it to the body this morning. And as we bring all our supplies together, we can expect something awesome to happen. We can expect God to move as we bring our supply. We can't be like a people who only use the bridge when they have a need. We can be a people who value the church of God. There's a guy by the name of John Alexander Dowie who did some awesome, awesome, wonderful works of God by the anointing of God. He was born in Scotland, moved to Australia, and then finally America, and did a great healing ministry in the city of Chicago, built the city of Zion. And God used him powerfully. It was just awesome, the things that God worked through his life and through the lives of others who came to be ministered to. There was people who had big cancers in the side of the face, and there's been testimonies of people watching him walk up to them and just rip that cancer off their face, and God miraculously bring healing to their body over and over and over again. Thousands of people followed the ministry because of the miracle working power of God working through his life. Wonderful. But unfortunately, John Alexander Dowie had a very sad end. And what happened was that when persecution was upon him, he seemed to be able to stay real steady toward the things of God and do wonderful works. And in fact, the miracles and the power of God worked so much through him that everything that the enemy threw at him was defeated. It seemed to just fall off of him. Even the mayor of Chicago and other people were against him, tried to shut him down many, many times. And eventually, because of his notoriety, they even came alongside. Amen. But he got so big and huge after a while that he didn't have people around him that could counsel him, that could talk to him, that could help him be balanced in his spiritual life. And eventually, he got off track. Eventually, he thought he was actually the prophet Elijah and started teaching some false things. And he died a sad end at an early death. You see, I believe that that's one of the reasons why God has placed you and I in a body with people, not so much as way up here. Listen, I don't ever want to be way up here in your lives. I want to be connected with you so that you can speak into my life when I need to be spoken into as well. But it goes two ways. You see, I never want to get out there where I don't have anybody speaking into my life, because I know that the devil is smart enough to tempt me enough to start thinking in line with his thoughts as opposed to God's thoughts. But you know, as we are all here together, there's people, if I teach something that's a little crossways, I'll have people come to me and say, look, you see what you thought? I need to understand a little bit more what you just said this morning, because it doesn't line up with the Word of God in my thinking. You know, I appreciate that. If people will say that to me, I will go back and say, well, let me look at that again. Because I don't want to be wrong. And you know what? I believe I can hear from God. But I also believe you can hear from God. I believe that as well. I believe you can hear from God. And when somebody says something to me, I want to listen. And it doesn't matter who you are. After all, we read about a donkey talking to Balaam. And if he can use a donkey, say this with me, God, if you can use a donkey, you can use me. So, you know, if Balaam would have listened to that donkey a little bit earlier, he probably would have saved himself a lot of hassle. And so you and I can learn from one another. You and I can grow from one another. You are absolutely precious, and you carry something that is absolutely powerful within your own spirit. When God created you, He put something in you that the world needs. Let me put it that way. He put something in you that can be a solution to somebody else's problem. He puts a characteristic of Himself on the inside of you that nobody else can express. You get to express that one characteristic of God that He put inside of you to the world that nobody else can. And it's our challenge, it's our part to seek after God and say, God, what have you placed in me that you want to explode onto this world? What are the things that you have put on the inside of me that you want me to share with others? What problem can I be a solution for, God? What are some of the things that I can do that nobody else can do? I spoke about Elizabeth finding her place. You know, if there was a whole bunch of people that could do that, she's unique in her calling. I haven't seen anybody minister to the elderly like Elizabeth does. But you know what? I'll bet there's a whole lot more people that God has called to do the exact same thing, but they're not moving in their calling. And when we all get to heaven, we're not going to be able to say, well, I didn't do it, Lord, because Elizabeth was doing it. I didn't do it, Lord, because somebody else was doing it. I didn't do it, Lord, because I didn't know what it was. And the Lord may say, well, did you ask me to reveal it to you? Did you ask me about what your calling was? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They follow me. So if we ask Him, you know, what's really amazing is that when we get in prayer and we ask God a particular question, we get there and we're in this place of being connected with God, or we'll say in the spirit, you can put it that way. If there's any place that we should be in the spirit, it should be in prayer. And so we hear God say something and we might even write it down. But some of us, sometimes we might be too scared to write it down. Because if we write it down in our private prayer life and we look at it after, when we are away from that kind of atmosphere of spirituality, you might say, we'll look at it and say, oh, yeah, that was just a thought. That was just a thought that came up in my head. Well, think about it. We're praying. We're worshiping God. We're praying. We're asking Him things. We asked Him about something. A thought came up. Guess what that might be? That's why I believe it's important to write it down. So we're less likely to talk ourselves out of it when we see it written before us. You see, God has a calling for each one of us. God has a purpose. He has an absolute perfect design. And when He's called you to do something, He anoints you for that calling. He gives you the equipment that you need to fulfill your calling. And what an awesome, awesome experience it is when we found our calling. The reason why Elizabeth can minister so much to these elderly people is because the joy of it is flowing through her. I've watched her do it. And when you find your calling, there will be such a magnificent joy flow through you that you'll be thrilled to be able to do it. Whenever I get frustrated, whenever I get tired about ministry work and so on, I think of what God has called me to, and I think about what gives me life. And certainly one of the things that does not wear me out usually is speaking. Is teaching, is the anointing that God has called me to, and I just allow that to life me, if you will. You find your calling, and it'll be the most sweet spot. You ever hear about getting into that sweet spot? It'll be the most sweet spot of life that you could ever find. You have a calling. You have a treasure. You are a treasure. You carry a treasure. Stand up with me, please.